House come to order if members can take their seats.
This budget is a huge job maker, and the number one solution to economic insecurity is a job.
Hungry children can't learn, and it's our responsibility to try to help.
Equality and opportunity.
I believe most people are here because they want to do some good.
Here we are with a brand new episode of Capital Ideas. If you just stumbled across us, this is the podcast where members of the majority Democrats in the Washington State House of Representatives sit down at the Capitol for a few minutes and talk about ideas. Today's show is a good one, starring someone who's just been a member of the House for a couple of weeks, but whose Capitol experience goes back a quarter century. Representative Breonna Thomas was a teenage House page in 1998. 10 years later, she was back on campus as an intern, and after that, she even did a stint as a legislative assistant. Today, she's the newest representative from the 34th District, and you're about to meet her, so stick around. We recorded this a few days ago, and here it is. Representative Breonna Thomas, District 34, Washington State House of Representatives. Welcome to Capital Ideas for the very first time.
Pleasure to be here.
You have been here before. And that was, what, 14 years ago you had some legislative experience?
Actually, earlier than that. First time I was on campus was 1998 as a page in the House of Representatives for then Representative Gigi Talcott.
That's been a long time. What was the next time you came back around here?
Then I came back in 2010 as an intern in the Senate to then State Senator Steve Hobbs in the 44th District. And after that, I did a short stint as a temporary LA to represent then Representative Bob Hasegawa from the 11th.
So you've really gotten a lot more experience here than many people who are new. And I didn't mention yet that you have just been appointed in the last several days to the legislature. I should have said that when I first introduced you, but I didn't.
Yeah, they shot me out of a cannon about 2.5 weeks ago. And so despite understanding the layout of the legislature, I'm glad the buildings don't move too much. Everything else does still feel a little bit new in this new role. I appreciate having legislative background. I worked with the city council for 6.5 years in Seattle. So I've got the basics of how a bill becomes a law, but man, there's a lot of nuance around here.
Well, that's one of the things I wanted to ask you. If you had run for office and gotten elected back in November and then come to Olympia, you would have gone through at least a few days of orientation programs where they teach you any number of things, including protocol for how the floor operates, how committee operates, how you deal with staff and your colleagues across the aisle, etc. You didn't get any of that, I suppose.
No, we have been getting some of it in piecemeal here and there. We've the folks at Ethics and Rules and HR just snag an hour at a time to get me the basic employee onboarding for being a Washington State employee. But a lot of it's just been learning by doing and hoping not to biff it.
Osmosis is a real thing. I guess you can soak it up.
Yeah, I'm definitely a learn-by-doing person anyway, so it hasn't been too bad. Everyone uses the phrase, like, it feels like drinking from a fire hose, and my line of the week has been, like, if the hose is shooting actual fire, then yes, that's what it's like. But everyone's been really helpful and really friendly and giving me little tips and tricks along the way, and I'm just absorbing it all. To your point about osmosis, we're just soaking it all in.
That's one of the things that many members have pointed out, and I tend to have been able to observe it from a distance, which is, even though there are some, I would call them bitter partisan differences here on the campus, when it comes to just sort of the collegiality in the hallways and in the offices, the Republicans and the Democrats tend to share information as if we were each human beings.
Absolutely. And we've got the members cafeteria because food is hard to find on campus. And anybody who comes to visit, make a plan. And, you know, I was rushing between things, very much a harried freshman. And one of the more senior members was in line in front of me and they just looked over their shoulder. They're like, you're running late. I'm like, later than I'd love. And so they let me go first. Right. They just had a lot of empathy for my position.
That was nice. Let's talk about your position. one of the first things that happens when a member gets elected and sworn in is they get appointed to some committees. I know that you're on a few committees. You're on housing, you're on technology, economic development, and vets. That's all one committee. And you're on post-secondary education and workforce, which is also just one committee. That's three pretty big deals, especially housing, which has every year for the last several years been a committee that deals with crises.
So starting my career, one of the earlier jobs I had was working for the Church Council of Greater Seattle. I was their receptionist, and I promoted myself to office manager. And that's when we had an agreement amongst ourselves that we were going to have a 10-year plan to end homelessness. That was would have been 2005. Clearly, we haven't succeeded in that plan, and the need is only gotten greater, and with some of the benefits we get from being a very growing region, we've attracted lots of new folks here. But that's created tension in the market and who can afford to live in Western Washington or in Washington State, full stop, and who can't, and what we need, what resources we need to bring to the table to make sure every Washingtonian has a warm, safe place to lay their head. And it all goes down in the housing committee.
Yes, it does. I'm going to ask you something else that I should have asked right at the beginning, but I didn't bring it up. But the fact that you didn't run for this office means, among many other things, you don't have a campaign website. That's where I normally would have gone to get research on a new member so that when I began speaking with them, I wouldn't be just saying, hey, who the heck are you? But since you don't, who the heck are you?
Yeah, I think that's a really fair question, Dan. I think a lot of my constituents are probably thinking that as well. Like, who's this lady? Where'd she come from? Little bit about me. I, first and foremost, am a proud Army daughter. My family served many generations in the armed forces. That's actually where my parents met. They were both soldiers. So I was made and born in Germany, is what I tell folks. And I lived a little while on the East Coast and in the South. But I moved out to the Great Northwest in the middle of high school, in the middle of winter, which I do not recommend. And I've been out here ever since. Things that I've tackled in my career, working in the nonprofit sector, like I said, for the Church Council of Greater Seattle, and with the Low Income Housing Alliance. So housing was one of my first policy areas. I've also had interesting jobs. Like, I spent 7 years working as a bouncer at the Showbox.
Really?
Yeah, I did that the same time I was going to school in the evenings and working for the Lord. So I call it my God and rock and roll phase. I've been a waitress. I've been, been a policymaker. I've been a campaign worker. I've been a chief of staff. And so I've really been fortunate to be able to build up to this opportunity. Like you mentioned earlier, I do have a little more on the ground experience in Olympia than some legislators have the benefit of, but I've been working on making policy for the better part of 15 years, whether it's on the ballot or in the halls of government. And I'm really excited to bring that learned experience, knowing what to do, certainly knowing what not to do, to the work here in Olympia. And so far it's paying dividends.
You were chief of staff for a council member up in Seattle, is that correct?
That's right. I was chief of staff to council president Lorena Gonzalez during the pandemic. So we were not only governing a whole city, but governing during a global crisis and in our living rooms.
That's tough.
It certainly was. We also had calls for racial equity during that time. We also survived 3 weeks of Smokeageddon, that time where the air was, you know, difficult to breathe. There was a day a pier fell into the Sound and it didn't even make the top 10 issues of the day. So when it comes to having seen some challenges, that was a tough time to lead. It was a tough time to be a public servant. You really saw folks giving it their all while taking care of their kids and their pets and their parents in a lot of situations. It was a really hard time to govern, and I just felt really lucky to do it with some of the best people in the world.
And now that you're here, you're going to be governing on a different level. This is you've been at the local level. Now you're at the state level. What are the priorities that you bring down here? What did you talk to the King County Council about when you were campaigning, I guess would be the right word, for the job that you were appointed to now as state representative?
Yeah, certainly. So that appointment process was a little over 3 weeks, and it involved reaching out to precinct committee officers. I call them the block captains and building blocks of democracy in every legislative district, who were tasked with sending three names forward to the King County Council. When I got there, I just shared a lot of what my values are. First and foremost, it's always going to be working people. I have the support of a lot of the labor movement because in the last 15 years working with them, they know that I'm always going to put working folks first. That's a tongue twister. Historically, it's been wages. It's been safe working places. It's been equity when it comes to access and promotion. Like who gets to get ahead in an industry? So that's my first filter is how does this affect the working families of my community and what needs do they have? So that may include housing or access to affordable childcare, reliable transportation, all the things that make a household run are sort of my bread and butter topics. Things that I get a little bit nerdy about that I don't have any committees for, but I'm keeping my eyes on are criminal justice reforms. You know, I think that we've gotten to a point in that conversation where it's to use jail or not to use jail. And I think that's an oversimplification. I think that folks should be held accountable for the crimes that they commit, but I also think we should look at the reason they commit them. So that's on my list of things to do. Progressive revenue. We are looking at a hole. The size of it changes every day, and we know that we can't cut our way out of it. We can't cut crucial services to folks. And so we just need to really take a look at our tax code and get that flipped right side up. And then last and certainly not least, I'm keeping an eye on strengthening Washington in the face of a federal change of leadership and tone and the communities that feel really vulnerable right now. So I'm trying to Washington-proof Washington, if you will, to make sure that the leadership that we've shown recently here in Washington State has a chance to not only foment but really grow in the face of some attacks from the federal government.
I wish you the very best of luck there.
Thanks.
I'm going to ask you kind of a left field question here, which is if you had not gone the direction you did, mm-hmm. a direction that involves, for want of a better word, caring about people, because I think that most people that get into public service do so because they care about people. Mm-hmm. They enjoy the work, but they care about the people who are ultimately the recipients of whatever policies end up being made. My question is, if you hadn't done that, what would you be doing? What would you be up to?
Oh, that's a good one. I think in a different version of my life, and I'm not taking it off the table yet, I'd love to run a small hotel. I just love the little details of a getaway, the thoughtfulness that creates an experience, helping people enjoy their downtime. You know, if I've got a weekend to get away, during the pandemic when we couldn't go anywhere, I made it a game almost, if you will, of patronizing the hotels downtown Seattle. Well, I'll be very honest, prices were low because no one could go anywhere. And we all just needed a different set of walls. I just needed a different experience. And so I would curate a gorgeous boutique hotel somewhere and just help people enjoy their downtime.
Well, if you ever end up doing that, let me know.
Okay.
The seat you now hold in the House of Representatives was previously occupied by Representative Emily Alvarado, who is now Senator Emily Alvarado. That's why we're fortunate enough to have you here. That's the 34th District. What's the 34th District?
Well, starting in the south end of it, it's Maury Island, which it's very difficult to get to, but they're really lovely folks. And then moving north, you've got all of Vashon. Going to the east, you've got Georgetown, White Center, which is unincorporated, a little piece of Burien, and then up into West Seattle across that bridge. Then we're in the Stadium District. So I've got both of those great big stadiums in my district and a lot of the working waterfront, a little tiny peek into Chinatown International District, and then right on up to the Great Wheel. Interestingly enough, my other job is in Seattle City Hall, and that's on the very last line, the very last block on the northern edge of the Fightin' 34th. So she's a beautiful district, but very, very diverse.
I was going to say, you could have just shortened that by saying, I represent the most diverse district in the state.
Okay, well, I'll take that line from you, Dan. But it's true. Vashon Island has got a lot of the same issues that rural communities do. They rely on the county for infrastructure, water, light, sewer, septic, because they don't have their own government there. And then you've got downtown Seattle. So you just couldn't be more different in the same turf.
How long have you lived over in West Seattle? It's a great place.
A little over 18 years. And if you talk to anybody from West Seattle, they'll let you know that I'm new.
You've seen it change.
Quite a bit. Yeah, we've actually seen quite a bit more density come in, and we're expecting more change in the future with the arrival of light rail through Sound Transit that'll increase our connectivity to the rest of the region. But I think some things about West Seattle haven't changed. It's still really friendly. It's still really personable. It's still a great place to have a family or start a business.
When I asked you a while ago, who the heck are you? We didn't finish that. We don't have time for a full-on biography, but what do you do in your downtime? And you're not going to have much of it
for a while. That's right. Well, my favorite things in my downtime are cooking, because it's a task you can complete. It's very gratifying, and you got to pay attention to what you're doing, so you can't be too distracted. I made a lasagna last Sunday, and that was a beautiful way to kill 3 hours. And then one of my other favorite things folks don't know about me is I love dinner theater. I'm a real sucker for an immersive experience. We had a really great one in Pioneer Square that closed recently. They're looking for a new home. But they only let 60 people or so in per show. And the actors were also your waiters. And there was a perfectly good reason to dress up to match the theme. So, yeah, I'm a dinner theater girly.
You're kind of a nerd, aren't you?
I'm a huge nerd. I'm a giant nerd.
And I mean that in the best way possible.
Yeah, I've finally grown into it, and I love it. But, yeah, I'm definitely a nerd.
As a new representative who hasn't even been here for the full 4 weeks of this session, you haven't had time to write and sponsor a lot of bills yet, but you do have some that you have dropped into the hopper, which is legislative ease for you've sponsored these bills and put them into circulation. What are you excited about the bills that you're sponsoring, and do you see any kind of a theme in the work that you're doing?
Yeah, great question. So one of the first bills that I sponsored is a companion to Senator Alvarado's bill over in the Senate, mine is 1732, that limits the number of single-family homes any corporation can own at one time, caps it at 25. And the goal there is, again, to stabilize the supply of affordable housing so that working people actually have a crack at the market when they're trying to grow their families or really, you know, own their piece of our community. And you can't compete with multinational corporations. So we've seen a lot of the corporations buying up homes, flipping them, and then doing a little bit of price fixing with what we can of the supply that we have in the market. So that's the first one. Second one pertains to the growth of our region. You know, we do know transit is absolutely necessary, and we're putting in rail all over, but that displaces businesses and it displaces homes. And so the second bill that I've introduced, 1733, raises the cap on what the reimbursable costs are for relocation for business owners or individuals that are displaced by that growth. That cap hasn't been lifted since 2003, and I think we all know a dollar in 2003 is not a dollar today.
Correct.
Third one is was done in conjunction with our nurses and firefighters. Right now, our firefighters are limited where they can take folks that are in crisis or in need in our community exclusively to hospitals. And we've all been working really hard on coming up with a collection of alternative locations, behavioral health crisis centers, urgent care, rehabilitation centers. Right now, firefighters are prohibited from going anywhere but to the hospital. And we know we need more dynamic solutions for some of the mental and behavioral health crisis we're seeing in our community. And last but certainly not least is the right to rest bill for our healthcare workers, which I'm doing in conjunction with our nurses as well. The people who take care of us aren't being taken care of, and this gives them the right to take a deep breath and get a glass of water and go get a snack so they can be present when they're taking care of us when we need them most.
I know there are other things besides just the lack of rest periods facing medical personnel, but with the fact that we are looking at a shortage of skilled medical personnel, that's bound to help.
Absolutely. And you think about other industries where rest is actually mandated. Pilots, for instance, aren't permitted to fly without a certain rest period because we are trusting them to keep us safe when we're most vulnerable. And nursing is no different. You want someone that's alert, that's sharp, that's ready for the job.
You sound like you're alert, sharp, and ready for the job. I've had you in here for a while. I think you probably have other things to do on a busy weekday afternoon. But before you go, what have we not talked about that you want to close with?
Fairies.
Fairies. Do you mean the kind with little wings and a wand, or?
I'm sure the folks on Vashon would love wings and a wand to get around. No, I'm talking about our marine highways and the real connectors between. I've got two islands in my district, and one of the things I heard most in that short appointment process, but I did hear loud and clear, is there needs to be more consistent, reliable ferry service between the mainland and the island communities. Folks want to get to work. They want to see their families. They need to access medical appointments. And I mean, goodness gracious, maybe they just want to go downtown and have a night out. And so our marine highways are definitely one of my other priorities. And I'm excited to start partnering with Representative Nance on that, because that guy knows everything about a ferry.
He lives in Bremerton.
Mm-hmm.
That's a ferry-dependent community.
That's right.
Brianna, Representative Brianna Thomas, I've really enjoyed being able to sit here with you and talk through the microphones for a little while. I hope we get a chance to do it again, but in the meantime, I just want to say thank you for taking this time to be on Capital Ideas and talk to an undetermined number of people out there who are listening to this podcast right now.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, and let's check in at the end and see how it did.
Yeah, we'll take a look backwards and see how many opinions you have that changed.
Thanks for having me in, Dan.
Thanks, Brianna. I hope you enjoyed your 20 minutes with Representative Brianna Thomas. I did. If you like this kind of podcast, the kind where people talk about politics and government without calling someone else's integrity, morality, or right to exist into question, Capital Ideas is the place to be. You can subscribe at the usual spots or by going to the House Democratic Caucus website at housedemocrats.wa.gov and clicking the media button at the top. Click one more time on Capital Ideas and take it from there. This is your state government, and what happens here matters a lot every day. I'm Dan Frizzell for the Washington State House Democrats, putting people first since 1889, the year the Louisville Colonels set a Major League Baseball record with their 26th consecutive loss. Thanks for listening.